Monday morning, Joe Gigante, your regular Joe here with you, sitting in studio with Tim Michaels, Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate. As I said going to the break, you touched a nerve when you mentioned, I asked you earlier, the three politicians that that you kind of would mold yourself in. You mentioned Ron Johnson. No complaint from me or anyone else in that. But the other that you gave was Tommy Thompson. And as I said, just count, I actually lost track of the number of texts. Several texts will say at least a dozen on that front. And then several emails. I'm going to kind of combine them into one, let you respond from there. Jim says, you lost my support when you said that you were for Tommy Thompson and wrote sorry. Another regular Paul. I have another one where he basically the same thing said, I don't understand how you can put him in the mold of being a conservative.
Well, my comment on Tommy Thompson was one of the greatest politicians in the history of Wisconsin. He was a winner. Whether you liked him or not, whether you think he's conservative enough or not, he won four times in a row. He might still be governor today if he didn't go out to Washington, D.C. in the Bush administration. I think everybody in
Wisconsin...
He didn't
do a very good job in that role either,
well,
just for the record.
Another story. But us conservatives, we want to beat Tony Evers, and that's why I'm running. And Tommy Thompson, he knew how to win. And I think anybody that's running for public office, for governor, you have to want to win, and you have to look at how Tommy Thompson won. He spent a lot of time all over the state. I've already been from Spooner down to Racine, Sheboygan, Madison, Marinette, here in Green Bay, all over. Tommy worked very hard. Nobody will work harder than me. And that's my Tommy Thompson comment. My other third one, Joe, just to remind people, was my friend Paula Quinn, who won a seat by one vote two months ago in the spring election, by one vote in the town of Lisbon.
All right, so we have some left-wing listeners, as I like to refer to them affectionately as my left-wing nuts. This first question for them, do you support the legalization of marijuana?
I do not. I do not support the legalization of marijuana.
In either form, medical or recreational?
I think it's all a slippery slope. I really do. There's a thousand medicines out there today. I think medical marijuana is just hiding behind the path for legalization of marijuana. I think families have to come first. I don't think we want our teenagers smoking pot. In our business, our employees have to take a drug test all the time. You cannot operate heavy machinery, heavy equipment, if you have THC in your blood, and there's a reason for that. And then we don't want everybody running around the state full of THC.
And then second question from the same guy, but then Rob here, another one of our left-wing nuts, asked essentially the same question. Rob says, sir, I see your ads, and you describe yourself as a self-made businessman, yet your father began the business you're currently run. Yeah. Please comment on justifying the phrase self-made man. Yeah. And the other version of this, why do you lie about being a self-made businessman when you actually inherited the family business?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I disagree with the premise of it, though. My dad died in 1998. The last thing he said to my brothers and me as they wheeled him into the operating room, he literally worked himself to death. He had a heart attack, and they were going to give him quadruple bypass. The last thing he said to my brothers and me is keep it all going. And we've done that. It's been 25 years now, and we went from a couple hundred employees to 8,000 employees. 90% of businesses do not successfully make a generational transfer. We've not only successfully made a generational transfer, we're about 35 times bigger now, and we do so much more at Michaels Corporation. We've my brothers and I, God bless my dad in heaven, but my brothers and I have definitely grown this business, and that is successful. Self-made, 12 years in the Army. I went all in when I was commissioned as an infantry officer. I went to airborne school, paratrooper school, ranger school, air assault school, jungle warfare school, anti-guerrilla warfare school. I went all the way. That's the way I do things in life. I'm sitting here right now because I got here through my hard work, my dedication. I am self-made, and those are the things that I'm going to take to Madison and lead this state as governor, because this state and the people in Madison, the legislature, badly needs leadership.
Now, quick, we're going to go to the phones, but quick follow-up on the military, because I do have a question in the the stack here of things, people have said that you have used the phrase that you retired from the military, but they're asking how you could have retired after only being in for 12 years.
Yeah, if I said retired, I was in error. You have to be in 20 years to retire. I believe I'm very careful about that. I said that when I got out of the military, I got out at the rank of major. So
okay, fair enough.
I do not have a military pension. But 12 hard years, very successful years, rank of major when I got out. One quick story.
Sure,
the greatest thing I did, you wonder, what would you do for 12 years? I served in a lot of infantry units, but the greatest honor I had, I was commander of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. Very special spot in my heart, and I'm sure in most Americans' hearts. But that was just awesome to have that opportunity.
All right, let's go to the phones. Line 2, Dave in Maribel. Good morning, Dave. What's your question for Tim? Dave, are you there? Did Dave put the phone down? Well, they wrote a note. So it said that,
what do you have?
What can you do to get the endorsement instead of Tony Evers? I think the question is, how can you win, I think, is really what it, because obviously Tony Evers is the Democratic candidate.
Yeah, so. I think that's why we're here. That's why we're running. You know, who can best contrast to Tony Evers and who can best beat him? I said that I think that Becky and Kevin and Tim Rantham are fine people, but I think people are going to look at the failure of Tony Evers, the weak leadership, and they're going to see a great contrast with a self-made man, a guy who was successful in the military, from being a commanding officer to a successful business executive. That's what they saw in Donald Trump. They saw a business executive that had done things, and he went to Washington to solve problems. I'm going to go to Madison to solve problems, and I don't just talk about it. I've done it. I have the experience to get people in Madison to come together. Let's pass legislation that has election integrity, which is one of my most important issues, that has education reform and for universal school choice, and that solves the crime problem that we have here in Wisconsin.
So election integrity, obviously a very big issue for all Wisconsinites, not necessarily for all people in office right now, but for Wisconsinites. You said it's a big issue for you. What is your stance on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, its future, and how do you think what do you think should be done with the state of our elections right now in terms of the investigation and how they're being run?
This has to get fixed. What happened in 2020 was a travesty, and it happened just a month or two ago in the spring elections. We have some information of some more shenanigans, if you will, that happened even in the spring elections. We have to have ballot integrity. Joe, when I was in the military, I'm talking a lot about my time in the military today, but it's a great example. We had a thing called positive chain of custody. Whether it was a secret document or even a soldier's drug test, from the beginning to the very end, you had to have positive control of that item. To have ballot boxes sitting in the middle of a park, unattended, overnight, it's absolute insanity. I'm going to sit down with the legislature. We're going to make sure that we create the proper law. I know they introduced some and Tony Evers vetoed them. We're going to get this right. I will sign them. We will ban Zuckerbucks. We will have no more ballot harvesting, and we have proper control of early voting. If we don't have election integrity, our whole system comes apart. One more military thing. I took the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. If we don't have proper election integrity, the whole system comes apart. So I'm fighting for that. I'm fighting for the Constitution once again.
Now, on the elections integrity question, so you can't talk about it without the Speaker of the Assembly, who has been a firebrand in not the best way, and he's stuck in the middle of this no matter how one cuts it. He has said that the WEC should be kept. Would you abolish WEC?
So here's what I would do. First thing I'll do is I'll sit down with Robin Voss, and I'll say, hey, Robin, what the heck happened here? How did this become such a big problem? Why are you, as you put it, Joe, why are you stuck in the middle of this thing? We need leadership in Madison. We need somebody that's going to bring in Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and even the Democratic leaders and say, enough of this partisanship bickering. We need to get stuff done, because the victim is all the hardworking, taxpaying people of Wisconsin. I'll look at WEC. Let's see what's going on there. If we can fix it as is, then let's fix it as is. is. If it can't be fixed, we'll get rid of it. But at Michaels Corporation, we just don't throw something out the window right away because it's not working. We got to work hard to fix things.
Have you read the report that came from Michael Gableman, the interim report? Have you read that yet?
It's a very big report. I haven't read all of it. Yeah, I haven't read all of it. I've read a lot of the summaries of it. So, and I supported Michael Gableman back when he ran for the Supreme Court. I think he should keep up what he's doing. We need to find out what happened in 2020.
Now, you said you'd bring in Rob and talk to him. It's about leadership. Well, I mean, you have obviously a lot of experience,
yeah.
Executive leadership, military leadership. As you've watched it as a citizen of Wisconsin, born and raised here, what grade would you give him? Because to be honest, I don't think it's a secret. I give him a failing grade.
Yeah.
He says one thing publicly. We know he does other things behind the scenes, undermining this investigation, getting it done. I understand the desire to talk to people and try to work it out, but isn't there, certainly in the military, there's a period at which you look at someone and, like, they don't make the grade. They're no longer there. So would you grade him? And do you think that he's reformable? Because at this point, he seems awfully dug in.
Yeah, I don't know if he's reformable or not, but we'll try before we terminate someone at Michaels. We sit down. We give him a lot of counseling. Robin Voss, again, I think with some leadership, maybe we can get him to a passing grade, Joe. Maybe we can.
So you're saying he's failing now, then?
I didn't say that.
Well,
I didn't say he's failing now.
But I'm looking for an answer on it,
and
though.
The government doesn't pick who the Speaker of the Assembly is. It's the caucus.
But as governor, and I've said this to every other gubernatorial candidate I've interviewed, there's no question the need for a strong relationship between the governor and
whoever the speaker is
going to be. So you may not pick him, but if you're governor and you have someone like Robin Voss who worships the status quo, how does anything get changed? And to go back, my original question is, what grade would you give him? You said not failing, but how would you grade him?
I have great hope that everybody in Madison, their grade is going to come up significantly when they have proper leadership down there.
You're avoiding answering the question, though. Come on now. If you're listening on the way in, I talked about yes and no questions and straight answers.
I'm running for governor of Wisconsin. And I'm not running for Speaker of the Assembly.
But how does the governor get his agenda through the Assembly?
We're going to sit down with whether it's Robin Voss or some new Speaker of the Assembly. We're going to sit down and we're going to work this stuff out. The people want it. And every Republican legislator in Madison knows that we have to have election integrity, that we have to have education reform, that we have to do something about crime. When I'm the leader there, and again, I have the proven, experienced executive leadership to bring them together, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I think that's what's going on in Madison right now. It's just too divisive, and people throw their hands up and like, hey, I got my seat, I'm good to go. That's not going to happen. You people, I'm talking to the legislature now, you people were elected by the people to do things that are for the betterment of Wisconsin, and I'm going to lead you in that, and we are going to get things done.
I'll ask it in a slightly different way before we hit the break, because I have some more questions from the listeners I want to get to as well. So we don't want to give them a grade. We talked about people, leadership that you think is going well, that you would emulate. Do you think Robin Voss represents the core conservative values that so many of the Wisconsinites you're interacting with across the state desire in their leadership roles, whether it be governor, speaker, any other position in the state?
Well, I'll say it this way, Joe. I think a little different than what I said before, but before we terminate somebody at Michaels, we sit down with them, we give them training, we have discussions, we put them on notice, and I think that's the proper thing to do here. I think everybody that's listening right now would want the same thing. They want leaders that are fair but firm.
All right, we got to hit the break. We'll come back. The next question coming from Pam. We talked about on the break about the mix of our listenership. Pam in Townsend has a question about splitting the vote. We'll get to that right after this break.